There are certain things that people within my family like to do that we know aren't right. And because Jude is homesick today, I'll make fun of him. He has this issue when he takes a shower in the morning. He'll leave his clothes on the bathroom floor, and he'll leave for school, and the clothes will still be there, and eventually they'll pile up in a way where you can't even open up the door all the way anymore. And I used to get really annoyed by this, and I would tell him, go pick up your clothes when you're done with your shower. When you're done right away, pick them up, take them to your bedroom, put them in the clothes hamper. But then I realized something. I was doing the same thing. In the bathroom where I take my shower, I was leaving my clothes there all the time and not picking them up. And I realized, how can I tell him to do something that I'm not doing myself? And frankly, I could give you a lot of examples of those same kind of parenting techniques that I realize that I do and I don't want them to do. This is really the heart of this first phrase, this passage that Jesus gives us in chapter 7, where he says, don't condemn others, and God won't condemn you. God will be as hard on you as you are with others. He will treat you exactly as you treat them. Other translations of that verse are probably more familiar to us. Don't judge, lest ye be judged. To many in this world, Christians, we're not necessarily known for our goodness or our kindness. For many people, Christians are actually better known for being judgmental, for being judging hypocrites. And Jesus does use that word here, hypocrite, and it's one of the few times where he calls his own followers hypocrites. Usually it's a term he reserves for those who don't believe at all. There are all sorts of people out there, and maybe ourselves as well, that will use this verse as a defense. We'll use it as a weapon. Well, who are you to judge? What gives you the right to judge? Look at what you do. You have no right to judge me. We've heard it said to ourselves. We've probably, at the very least, thought about it and said it maybe to others as we have felt judged. And really, in either case, the tragedy is that the focus is on the judgment and then not on the thing that needs correcting. So Jesus tells us, do not judge, lest ye be judged. And then he goes on to this kind of absurd metaphor that he speaks, this analogy, this illustration that he gives. He says, listen, you can see the speck in your friend's eye. You know, it's like a little piece of dust, like a little sawdust. You can see the sawdust in your friend's eye, yet you don't notice the log that's in your own eye. How can you say, my friend, let me take that speck out of your eye, when you don't see the log in your own eye? You're nothing but show-offs. First, take the log out of your own eye, then you can see the speck that's in your friend's eye. Two things about this passage. And the first I want to point out, we'll talk about maybe a little later. Notice that Jesus doesn't ever say not to point out the sin or the wrong in another person. He doesn't really say you can't ever judge or show a person they're wrong. What he does say, though, is before you get to that point, take a moment of self-reflection, take a moment as a repentance person, and look at yourself first. Begin by looking to your own sins. And take that moment. Anytime you see a sin or a wrong or something that is not right in somebody else, take it as an opportunity to look at your own life first. As I was thinking about this week, I was trying to think of examples, and I looked to the Ten Commandments. And specifically, I especially looked to how Luther describes the Ten Commandments in the Small Catechism. In the Small Catechism, Luther will take a commandment, he'll say, well, what does this mean? And he'll elaborate what the commandment means in a positive aspect and in a negative aspect. And so let's take the commandment, you shall not murder. And Luther will say this, that you should fear and love God so that you don't hurt or harm your neighbor in your neighbor's body, but help and befriend him in every bodily need. It's a pretty easy thing to lay a judgment about this commandment, right? You can see clearly and plainly when murder is done, and that does need judgment, and it needs enforcement of that law and punishment to take place. You can see this at all times on the nightly news. And Luther will take it further than just murder. He'll talk about how it's about any bodily harm that we might lay on another person. If we were to enact this passage about judging that Christ gives us, and about the speck and the log, when we look and see hurt or harm happening to another person, even if it's in a faraway place that we see on the nightly news, instead of jumping quick to our judgments about it, according to Christ, what we should do is first look to ourselves and think, and take the opportunity and think, boy, that's wrong. But how am I also committing wrong in this same way? I can see that what that person on the news did is terrible. But Lord, how do I also disobey you in this sin, in this commandment? How do I also hurt and harm my neighbor? How do I also not do the positive aspect of this command, which is to help and befriend my neighbor in every way possible? How, O Lord, do I be better at this thing? That's what it might look like. Take another commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Luther will say, what does this mean? It means that we fear and love God that we might not deceitfully belie, betray, slander, or defame our neighbor. As you're standing in the grocery store and you look over and you see one of those, you know, newspapers, I don't even know the names of them right now, that are all lies and slander and libel and all that kind of stuff, and you see how this person's all of a sudden sleeping with this person, and this person isn't actually a human being, they're an alien, things like that. All these lies that we see there, and we think, well, that's just terrible. It's just smut. That's worthless. That's a proper judgment. But we should also take the opportunity then to look at myself and think, am I doing anything to speak against my neighbor? Am I bearing false witness? Am I in any way gossiping that is hurting in a way, or hurting my neighbor in a way? Am I giving slander? And then even think further towards the positive aspect of this command. Am I speaking well of my neighbor? Am I putting the best construction on all things possible? Am I defending my neighbor? When we take these words of Christ, life gets a lot harder all of a sudden, doesn't it? The road becomes narrower when we decide to take every moment of judgment and first look at ourselves and how we might be disobeying commands, how we might not be holding up our neighbor. The road gets much more narrow. The real problem this world has with judgmental Christians is that the judgment precedes any self-reflection. It precedes any repentance on the part of the person that is pointing out those sins. How much more likely are we to hear a judgment from a neighbor or a friend when we know that they are a person who comes before the Lord in confession, when we know that they are a person who is constantly working on being better and taking care of their own stuff first. It's always easier to look at another's sin rather than one's own. But when we do take that hard path, the narrow road, when we do look at our own sin and come face to face with it, we can be assured that no matter how hard it is to do that, that Christ is there to forgive us. Not only that, but we can be assured that Christ is there to strengthen us, that we might resist sin, that we might do better, that we might see our own sin even better. Because as Jesus talks in this passage, he wants to give to us the ability to obey him. Ask and you will receive. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Your heavenly Father is ready to give you good things to those who ask. What he's talking about here isn't another boat or another truck or a better house or things like that. Those aren't the good things that Christ is talking about. It's about the ability to walk the narrow road. Jesus knows it's hard, and he wants to strengthen us. He knows it's hard because he walked it himself in full obedience to his Father to go to the cross for us, to show compassion, to show humility, to show love, to show purity for us, so that we, strengthened by the Holy Spirit, dependent upon God in prayer, might then show compassion, humility, love, and purity to others as Christ has shown us. Let us pray. O merciful Father, help us by your Holy Spirit to see the logs in our own eyes, that we might take care of our own sins, our own faults, our downfalls, our wrongs. Help us when we see the wrong in others to take it as an opportunity to reflect upon our own lives and to come again before you in repentance before we help others. Oh Lord, thank you for walking the narrow way, that in you we might have forgiveness, and that in you we might be strengthened to be better neighbors and more dutiful children to our Heavenly Father. We pray this in your name. Amen.